Welcome to Soul Sciences, where inner exploration meets outer experiences. I'm your host, Charlene, inviting you to listen in, subscribe, and learn more about the place, the edge where inner soul meets outer science. Thanks for joining this episode of Soul Sciences. Hello, listeners and everyone. We are here today with our Nova Scotia writer, Anita Stewart. Welcome to the program, Anita.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us, Anita, how did you begin with writing poetry?
Well, I guess I've always really written poetry, even when I was a little kid. Like, I had my first haiku was published in a school contest. So I still have the little booklet from that.
Sweet.
somewhere in a box somewhere.
Sweet.
But I don't know. It's just like I've always been interested in it, always liked it. It's just something I've always done, really. I just never thought about it. You know, I'm a poet or I've written poetry. It's just scribble down the words sort of thing.
And do you have a particular time when you write poetry or do you?
No, that just comes when it comes. You know, you sitting and watching TV and pop, there goes something in your head, you know, scribble it down on an envelope.
And then put it into a book.
Yeah.
My great friend Linda Stitt does that. You go to her apartment and there are scads of pieces of paper and envelope backings. And she comes up with some of the most wonderful poetry. Would you mind reading some of your poetry to us?
Yeah, I got one of my favorites from my latest book here, Colors of Poetry. It's called In the Persian Garden. It's my poor attempt at a rubaiyat. On the night of the stars, they align for we two, far beneath fair heavens, where we shone, me with you. We walk through the garden of Persia under shade of olives with scented buttercups past the dew. With the moon, we entwined our fingers and we strayed in among the damask soft petals where we stayed. For that night under stars so perfect lost in heart, till the dawn and the spell was lifted, then we prayed. For escape from this love forbidden, a new start, or perhaps for the strength to break free, but apart. I would miss your jasmine, perfume sweet as honey, so we kissed, said farewell, lips last touch as we depart.
Oh, very, very sensual images, a lot of evocative.
Well, yes, that's one of the few love poems I've actually written, so my poems generally tend to be more sci-fi, fantasy, or horror.
Well, tell listeners what a rubaiyat. You made mention of a rubaiyat just before.
Well, it's a Persian poem, and it's a poetry form that I tried. It's very old. And very well known, actually, in poetry circles, but that was a very poor attempt at it. But I do like the form. I'm actually kind of new to form poetry because, like, for most of my early poems, they were just free verse, or occasionally the haikus, but the only thing I really did. But I joined this group a few years ago called Mindful Poetry, and I was introduced to form poetry in... So I've done quite a few of those now. I've got some favorites now.
Aha. And what are your favorite form poems to write in?
See, get the words right here. Let's get the... Well, I like... There's like the Celtic poetry. I like that. And don't ask me to pronounce it because it's all Gaelic and Welsh and... No. But the Trimeric poem, I like that. And there's another one called Cascade that's a relatively new form that's really nice. They kind of build on each other. Like you do lines and then you take one line from the first verse and you build on that line in the second and then so on in the third and fourth and whatever, however long you want the poem to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be actually quite fun because you can, it's like poetry in stairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're my favorites.
You mentioned that you write poetry based in sci-fi, for example, or fantasy. Would you read us one or two of those, please?
Oh, let me see if I got one here. There should be something here. Okay, yeah, there. Here we go. Okay, now, yeah, here we go. Flow, silence, in between, main particles, wandering along continuing threads, interconnecting luminary stars, galactic worlds, conjoined by tranquil ebb. That one's called Dark Matter Bridges.
Dark Matter Bridges.
Yeah.
Would you explain that title?
Well, it's like the dark matter, it's the science, the astronomy, dark matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the rage in the science community. And it's kind of like in between stars and things, so I thought, you know, it's like a bridge between things.
Oh.
Hence the title. And the prompt for the poem, it was a contest entry that didn't win. it was bridges, so I thought, well, you know, that would be a good subject for it.
That's a very intriguing thought, using dark matter as a bridge between matter, and then using that as an inspiration for a poem about bridges when that's what your prompt is. I like the way that thinking goes. When did you start writing prose?
Oh, I've always written stories too. So it's like, I mean, people keep asking me that question, like, when did you start writing? And it's like, when did I never write is a better question. Because it's like, as soon as I picked up a pen and wrote the alphabet, it's like I was doing something.
And where did you go to school?
Well, I've always been going to school in Nova Scotia because I grew up here. So, we went to elementary school in Kingston, and then to high school just down the road in Auburn, in the Nathless Valley in Nova Scotia.
Now, tell us about Nova Scotia. What is the greatest thing about living in Nova Scotia?
I like the seaside. And, you know, and the people, too. They're friendly and they're nice, and, you know, it's kind of like down home quality to the place, you know. It that's what it is. It's like home, and it's also great for being a fantasy writer, because I mean the folklore and the ghost stories, and they're just everywhere in this province.
Really?
And in Atlantic Canada too. Oh yeah, you can't, like I say, you can't swing a cat and not hit a ghost story.
Oh, really? Have you got an example off the top of your head of
well,
a ghost story?
There's a ghost ship between Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia. There's tales of a ghost ship. Like the tourist boats that the ferry that runs, people have said they've seen the ghost ship. It's a tall ship. It just sails and then disappears. And then there's another ship, ghost ship story, down on the South Shore, which is a pirate ship that people can see burning in the harbor.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So the first...
That's actually based on the true story, too, because there was a pirate ship that burned, that was in a firefight with the British Navy. And it burned in the harbor. And they still can see the ship at times.
Oh, have you ever seen it?
No, I've never seen any of the ghost stories. But the most famous one, I think, in Nova Scotia is the Five Fishermen Restaurant in Halifax.
All right.
That one is said to have a lot of ghosts. Like the ghost, they can hear the glasses rattle and footsteps and all sorts of things. And that's not surprising considering the history of that place, because it used to be a mortuary.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was a place where they took some of the victims from the Titanic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of the bodies they recovered from the Titanic came into Nova Scotia.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and there's a cemetery where they're buried here in Halifax. Anyway, but that was actually a temporary mortuary for the bodies. So, I mean, it's got a lot of ghostly history, that place.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a distinct cemetery only for the people.
Well, no, I mean, it's a city cemetery, but, like, it's just the one, there may be two, where most of the bodies were buried. Like, if they couldn't be identified or
right,
people didn't claim them.
Oh, so they were unclaimed bodies as well. So that would leave them rather...
Well, there was a lot of, you know, poor people and stuff on the Titanic, so...
Yeah, they claimed it came ashore and nobody claimed them.
Immigrants and things.
Right. But it was at this... And somebody built a restaurant over the mortuary.
Well, eventually it became a restaurant.
That's a kind of interesting thing to think.
Yeah,
there's a mortuary.
It changed hands and it turned into a restaurant eventually.
Right.
I mean, like, this is like... The restaurant's pretty recent. The mortuary is like 7,500 years ago.
Well, yeah. I still think it's kind of funny, but that's just my sense of humor.
Well, in Nova Scotia, it wouldn't be funny because, I mean, everything changes hands in Nova Scotia eventually, you know, turns into this or that or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you start with something and you don't break it down. We tend to tear things down in Ontario. We tear down things that are 50 years old, 75 years old, 100 years old. We tear them down.
Oh, no. We got a lot of heritage being done. Well, one of our towns in Lunenburg is pretty much a heritage site now.
Ah.
They turned the town into a heritage site, so...
Wow, that's interesting. And what about, who are your favorite poets? To go back to poetry for a minute.
Well, I like Tennyson.
Mm-hmm.
Charge of the Light Brigade's my favorite poem.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Lord Byron.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Robert Service.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we learned him in school, so...
Yes.
You know, Cremation of Sam McGee is still one of my favorite poems.
Who does not love that poem? That is such
a great poem.
It pops up in so many different places, and it just really is to the heart of things, right? Do you know any of it?
And I've always loved the North, too, so it kind of, his poetry really speaks to me.
Have you traveled up to...
No, we did do my family did do a cross-country trip, and we got up a little ways into British Columbia, but not quite to the North.
Ah, yeah, I've traveled up there early on in my life. It's a really vast and amazing place, I will say. I haven't gotten as far as the Yukon, but up by Dawson Creek.
Yeah, I think we got up to Dawson Creek.
Yeah. Yeah, it's extraordinary land up there.
Hmm.
Yeah, so do you know any poems by heart?
No, that I do not know poems by heart. I cannot memorize poems.
Why?
That's the one thing I don't. I can't even memorize my own poems.
Oh, I memorize poetry, but not my own.
No, I do not know poems by heart. I mean, I know bits and pieces, you know.
Right. What's your favorite?
No, my mind works weird sometimes, and memorization is one of the things that it does not do well.
I see. Do you have any bits and pieces from the Charge of the Light Brigade for us?
Well, you know, Into the Valley of the Shadow of the Death rode the 100. That's about the only thing.
Yeah.
Cannons to the right of me, cannons to the left of me. I think that's why I like it so much, you know, all the cannons.
Yeah.
It's also a very powerful poem.
It is, yeah, Tennyson. And again, you've got the regular rhythm there. You've got the form there. Yeah. So you're really, everyone you mentioned is somebody who writes in form, yes?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, all the poems I read is growing up, because I had this big book of Oxford poetry
mm-hmm.
that my brother had left behind. So most of it's in, and, you know, all the English poets. So I'm a big fan of the British poets. But, I mean, it's all form poetry. But at the time, you know, I didn't know what it was form. It was just good poems to me. But I didn't know it was form poetry. It's only afterwards when I'm studying the forms to write myself that I realize, oh, yeah, these guys were writing in form poetry.
That's right. As opposed to E.E. Cummings, who I think was one of the more famous of the free verse poets. But, yeah, and a lot of the free verse poets put it forth that you had to know form before you wrote free verse.
Well, I was the opposite, because I wrote free verse before I really knew form poetry. I mean, but like I said, the haiku was about the only thing I ever wrote in form poetry for years.
And I think a lot of people begin their poetry writing free verse and then maybe go back and do a study of the forms to get a stronger sense of the rhythm and a stronger sense of the restrictions that I think actually create the fun stuff in poetry. When you have those restrictions, how does that poet resolve that?
But the only restriction I can't master is the meter.
Oh.
I cannot do it. I've tried badly, but I cannot master meter in poetry.
That's
so I generally shy away from those forms.
Well, I would think that meter is just the matter of the words. Are we thinking of the same thing, like the number of syllables? spondees and dactyls?
Well, yeah, it's private syllable, but it's the way the syllables are put out and the way that you hit the beat on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like music.
Spondees and dactyls, yeah.
Yeah, it meter in poetry is very much like music.
Yes. Do you play any musical instruments?
No. Which is probably why I find meter so hard.
It would make a difference, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would, yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds wonderful that you're doing the writing poetry in any case, and haiku has a particularly spare kind of meter, but it does have a definitive meter.
Mm.
5 syllables, 7 syllables, 5 syllables. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? So that's a real, you've got to be very powerful to put thoughts, I find it's very hard to crystallize the thinking and the feeling into such a short amount of space, and the rhythm has to be there as well. Who are your favorite prose writers, Anita?
Well, I like Guy Gabriel Kay. He's Canadian, and I think his books are absolutely brilliant. And Neil Gaiman, another brilliant fantasy writer. And Ray Bradbury he's my inspiration, my writing inspiration. And let's see, Anne McCaffrey, I like her. And Jennifer Robson, she does the Dell and Tiger fantasy novels. And she's got a new series called Caravans. She's really good. And Morgan Llewellyn would probably be another one of my favorites. And Agatha Christie.
It's a big, long list. Good for you.
You're well, I got probably more. I mean, I read a lot. I've got like boxes and boxes and boxes of books. So
lovely. Now, tell us the names of your books, Anita, and where people can find them. And tell us a little bit about the books, about their plot and the characters. Are any of them series?
Well, I do have one sort of series. It's my horror series called Killers and Demons 1 and 2. And that's short story collections written from the point of view of the villains. So the villains are the protagonists, and everything ends badly.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, they're horror books, though. I mean, you can get away with that in the horror books. Not so much. And I've got, mostly I've got just novellas and story collections at the moment. I'm working on some novels, though.
Tell us, give us an example of your novella. What are the characters? What is the narrative arc?
Well, the first novella I did was Chronicles of the Undead, and it's written in a diary form. And it follows three members of one family, and as they find out that vampires actually exist, and their interactions with the vampires and what they do. So, I mean, that was an interesting one to write because it's got no dialogue in it.
Oh, really?
It's all diary form. It's all written as a diary, like from three different people. So you get the first part of the book is from the point of view of Samuel Harrington.
Yes.
The second part of the book is from the point of view of his son, Edmund. I changed his name. Now I can't remember what it is. Anyway, and then the third part of the book is from Samuel's granddaughter, Charlotte. And the vampires, of course, stay the same throughout the whole three sections. But so it tells exactly how each those three people deal with the vampires in their lives. And I like that. It was hard to write, but I like the way it came out. And I've got one.
What did you find was most challenging? Excuse me for a moment, but what did you find most challenging about writing in diary form?
It's making it long enough. Because, I mean, the diary, you don't want to go too long with the diary entries, and you have to go, and you have to make sure that the entries are not boring. Like, you don't want to say, oh, I had lunch today. Because nobody wants to read what the guy had for lunch. Anyway, so that was the most challenging, is putting the plot in the diary form and keeping it as a diary form. Because you can only write from his point of view, right? Mm-hmm. There's no adding things in from other people. So that was difficult, actually, getting the entries
mm-hmm.
long enough and multiple entries enough in to make the book long enough, which is why I only did a novella, because anymore.
Yes, that makes sense.
Ideas.
Did you set out to do a novella with the diaries, or did you set out to actually do a novel and then get into it and think, oh, well, it's going to go better as a novella?
I don't think I set out to do anything. I just decided, oh, well, this is a novel idea. Let's try it.
Then
it just turned into a novel because I ran out of things to write about. So, oh, yeah, it's long enough. That's enough. I've had it.
So you sound like you're a pantser rather than a planner.
No, it's sort of half and half. It's like I make an outline and then I just kind of fill in things. Like I generally know the beginning and I know the end and I fill in the middle. But I generally have an outline so I know like chapter one, you're going to do this, chapter two, you're going to do that, blah, 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 on to the end. Of course, it changes as you write, but...
And do you go to conventions at all where there are fantasy-only writers or sci-fi-only writers?
No, there's not a lot around Nova Scotia. There is one, HowlCon, that then I went as a observer 1 year, not a participant, you know, because, I mean, it is kind of expensive. And for me, I don't have a lot of profile, so it's not really worth the budget considerations.
Right. And how did you find the B2B CyberCon? How was that for you?
Oh, that was fun. I like that.
Yes, that's where we met. Just for listeners who are interested in what I'm talking about, it's the Brains to Book Cyber Convention that is held in April every year, led by a woman named Angela B. Chrysler, who's a bit of a storm. This woman is pretty dynamic, and she has a crew around her now. Apparently, I'm one of them. I'll be heading up memoir, so I think I'll be shifting all my programs over to memoir very soon here. You may be about the last person I interview for a while who writes science fiction and fantasy and in that genre. But it was, I found a very interesting 3 days of all kinds of writers coming together from all kinds of genres. And did you find there was any uptick in the distribution of your books?
Well, I did get some downloads of my free stuff. Which is always good, you know. But and I did get a couple of interested, you know, people interested in what I write. So you never know. But like I said, my stuff is really novellas and short story collections, and that's not exactly big sellers.
So, is that right?
I mean, I wasn't really expecting a lot of sales.
Okay.
But I was really in it for the experience because, I mean, I've never done the video panels before.
Right, myself also.
Yeah, so I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I found it
a lot easier than I thought because sometimes I get a little stage fright.
Yeah.
But I didn't have anything with the video panel. So apparently video, for me, works great. So I may do more of that.
Yes, I was very impressed with the panel discussions. They're still up. People can still go to, you can go to Goodreads if you're listening and go to B2B, capital B and the number 2 and B, CyberCon, CyberCon, and you'll get to the entire fairgrounds. Now, it's a little confusing. We've got a much better setup for next year. We've got a much clearer setup based in genres to begin with. And we're really planning on helping people get around the fairgrounds much more clearly. But if you go down the first list to the fairgrounds and over to your right, you'll see a little click of 5 out of, I think it's 141 booths. We had something like 300 writers with 140 booths. Each writer might have had their books in one. I don't know really exactly how that worked, but I know we had a lot of writers and then we had a lot of readers coming through, over 300 readers coming through. And if you go down and click on that right next to Fairgrounds, go to the right of that little scroll and you'll see the numbers I'm talking to. Click on that and you'll get to all of the different writers. Or indeed, you can go at the top right under B2B CyberCon. There's, it says map. And you might miss it because it's the same color as the banner at the top of the head of the page. But if you look, it says map. And you can hit that and go down and scroll all the different names of all the different writers. You'll find A.F. Stewart. You'll find Charlene Jones. And that's where you'll find a lot of our works there. So when you're writing prose, what is it that most interests you about writing prose, Anita?
I think it's the characters. I like the psychology. That's usually what I focus on when I write. It's like, what makes the characters tick and how they react and in situations and stuff. That's what how I think my novels and my books and things are very character driven.
Right. Well, and what do you see them doing? Do you see them having an arc in their development?
Well, I hope so.
Can you give me an example of your favorite character?
Well, my favorite character is my villain, Balthazar. Because, I mean, he's just, I mean, there's nothing redeemable about this. He's a demon, right?
Yes.
And there's absolutely nothing redeemable about this guy.
Wow.
But he's so honest about it, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He just, I'm a demon, I will kill you, that's it. You know,
straightforward.
I have no mercy. I'm just going through life, doing what I want.
Just straightforward. Just straight
up. Yeah, very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be a popular character too for people who actually read his stories.
And how have you found that out? Have people commented on your website?
Well, yeah, they've commented in reviews too, and stuff like that. I mean, because, I mean, people have said, oh, I love the character of Balthazar and things like that to me. So, I mean, yeah, not that it's an overly big seller of any of my books are overly big seller. I mean, he does seem to be a popular character.
Well, that's interesting to know. And who would you say of your female characters is your favorite?
Well, I think it's Nimue. I've written two stories about her and her fellow Camelot immortals. And I'm starting on a novel for her, but she's fun.
What is fun about her?
Well, she's like, it's based on King Arthur mythology, the stories in the book. And she's sort of like got caught up in the magic of Camelot and ended up being an immortal. Because that's the premise of the stories, is that if you dabble in magic, you become immortal.
Ah.
But she doesn't exactly like it.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of like, yeah, I'm immortal, big deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's sort of the allure of it wore off after the first 100 years or so.
Right.
So all she wants now is just to settle down in her nice little bed and breakfast in England and live a quiet life.
Mm-hmm.
But trouble is her fellow Camelot people keep making trouble.
They keep popping up?
Yeah, and they expect her to fix it.
Oh.
So she keeps being drawn back into all this magical nonsense, as she calls it.
Yeah.
So it's fun. And she's kind of like a no-nonsense sort of, like, and she's a witch, too. So, I mean, she's got her own magic. And so she's this no-nonsense person that keeps being drawn back and taking care of all these people. She's like the mother hen.
Right.
Only she doesn't quite want to be.
Right.
She does it anyway.
Well, there you go. Conflict is always good in a personality on page. What is the best form as far as you're concerned? Is it poetry, prose, novella, short stories? What do you think?
Well, I love short stories. I've always loved short stories because I used to read them as a kid and I love writing them. So, I mean, poetry would be a real close second, but I think I have to give it to the short stories.
And what is it that you like about the short story format for writing, from a writing perspective?
Well, it's interesting because it leaves so much, if you do it right, it leaves so much up to the reader.
Hmm.
It's very interpretive because, I mean, you can write the story, you write the characters, there's a clear beginning and ending, but there's so much that is unsaid in a short story that
yes.
The reader can read into. Which I like. And I find it's kind of sad to me that the short stories have kind of fallen off in favor of the novel these days.
Have they?
Yeah. Yeah, because I find a lot of people, you know, I don't really read short stories.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a lot of things I've heard when people actually read my short fiction collections. Is
yes.
That, you know, I don't really read short stories, but I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there you go. They're a bit surprised. Well, that's wonderful. You're opening the doors for readers, and hopefully they'll walk through to the other short stories. I mean, there are short stories being written, and of course, we have the great honor in Canada of the wonderful Alice Munro, who just won, I believe it was a Pulitzer.
Yeah. Oh, yes, she's great.
Astonishing. And then in America, there's Mae Sarton, and a number of other writers who have written great short stories for sure.
Yeah, I know. I mean, some of my favorite fiction has been the short story. I mean, Ray Bradbury was a brilliant short story writer. He wrote some fabulous. I mean, the Foghorn and All Summer in a Day. I mean, they're just brilliant pieces of fiction.
Yes.
I mean, and I think people really should read more short stories. And I'm surprised, you know, that they don't. I mean, especially with the Kindle Shorts these days.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping maybe it'll come back. So.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, people like the longer forms, it seems, into series. Series seem to be really what's selling. If you get a good character that has to go through two or three books, people seem to really enjoy the whole concept of the series. And we do it visually, too, of course, with television. Are you a big television fan at all?
Oh, yeah.
What are your favorite programs?
Oh, well, my favorite program is Supernatural.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Been a big fan of that show since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that there's a new one, Lucifer.
Oh, yes.
Which I like.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what other shows do I like? I'm a fan of Sleepy Hollow, though I don't know. The season finale this year is, don't know where they're going to go from that one.
Mm. So you keep to science fiction and science fantasy when you're watching?
I watch some detective shows, too. I like The Fall. It's a BBC, mm-hmm. British TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That one's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched the Law and Order stuff time to time, mm-hmm. Criminal Minds, things like that.
Right.
I mean, I like detective shows, too.
Yes. Well, did you watch True Detective?
No, that's one I didn't watch.
Pretty intense, pretty good. Yeah, I'd recommend it. Well, I will say that we're coming close to the end of our program, Anita. So did you want to give the listeners some place where they can go to get your books?
Yeah, well, the easiest place to get my books is, just a sec, I can find it here. Oops, wrong book. That explains why I can't find it. Okay, yeah, it's my blog. It's the Are You Afraid of the Dark is what the blog is called. And it's HTTP and all that :// afstewartblog at blogspot.ca. And that's where I post my travels every week. I've got a list of my books there and my sites and everything. You've got all sorts of things in the sidebars that you can find me, where you can find me. So that's probably the easiest way to find me is on my blog.
Well, thank you so much for taking time with us today, Anita Stewart. And do continue to write. I'll look forward to seeing you again next year at the B2B Cyber Convention as well, and talking in the meantime. And thanks for all your information today.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Bye for now. That's it. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon. And in the meantime, remember, be kind to each other. For more Soul Sciences, go to www.soulsciences.net or email me at charlenej@rogers.com. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod for that great intro and extra music called Carefree. Bye for now.